You are now listening to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program on strangelabel.com.
Again.
Brutal, right?
Yeah. Guys, we're live. Phone number to contact the show is 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. The whole gang's here. I'm Mike. Travis is over there, as is Matt. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
Drunk's not here yet. Guys, we're joined this week by a very special guest from the rock and roll band Sponge. Vinny is here. Vinny, how are you doing, man?
Wow.
You're
weathering the cold in Detroit, but always happy to talk to folks that are out in Wisconsin. Got a lot of history in that wonderful state and that area. So love the state, love the city of Milwaukee, and almost everywhere in between.
At this point, you kind of have history everywhere, don't you?
Well, I mean, certainly Sponge has traveled all across the United States, but... we've had many great gigs, whether it be in Madison or Milwaukee, the old Eagles Club. You know, it's like, man, we've just done a ton of playing through Wisconsin.
Eagles Club's a great club.
Is it still around?
Oh, yeah, it's still there at the Rave.
A lot of good nights there, man.
So you got tour dates, merch, all your social media links up on spongetheband.com. I saw that you have dates coming up celebrating the 25th anniversary of your debut album, the Rotting Pinata.
Yeah. Who would have thought 25 years have flown by?
Is there a competitiveness to like your longevity? Like do you we're still standing and suck at Space Hog, or I understand, you know, you're making a living, but at the same time, is there something to like the longevity, comparing yourselves to people that started around that same time and you're still standing and so many have kind of gone by the wayside?
Well, we certainly wish that a lot of those bands were still, you know, very, very active. And it's funny you bring up Space Hog. We did a tour with Space Hog just a few years ago.
Oh, is Space Hog still around?
Did a couple of tours. You know, they I don't know what they have on the books for touring.
I don't really know why I used them as an example. I was just trying to think of 1994 and for some reason, Space Hog.
I would say, you know, like, you know, certainly like the presidents of the United States. I don't know what they're doing anymore. We've been looking around for like bands like Veruca Salt, whether Veruca is still around and touring. So it's like certainly a number of those bands, you scratch your head and go, what are they up to? But like Space Hog, we were on the Summerland tour with those guys. It was us, Everclear, Space Hog. That was very cool. And then we broke off and did a tour with Space Hog the following year. We did a whole group of dates with those guys. But, you know, truth be told, it's like I wish a lot of the bands were still around, but we've learned how to do it, I think, right.
That Summerland tour, it was billed as kind of like a throwback nostalgia thing, and I think that like some people would probably be like bummed out by that label, but I mean it's like a badge of honor, isn't it, to still be around all these years later, still doing it. I don't see why people, but some people do. I mean, like just notably, I guess like Billy Corgan's pissed off that people want to hear his old songs. And people like that. And I mean, I would think that if people still give a shit about you 25 years later, then you're doing something right, right?
I would think, yes, we're doing something right. But I think the thing that we do right is we're still able to get out and tour in a way that nobody's afraid to get in the van and spend the hours on the road to go out and do the gigs. And some, of course, some people might look at it like nostalgia, but I look at it like it's a celebration of that music. And certainly we do play the tunes from the early records, but we're also releasing new records, and we play new songs, and mm-hmm. and I think that makes it important.
Do you
to get out there and play?
Do you ever get a bunch of shit from audience members if you're not playing enough of the old stuff?
I suppose if we didn't play the old stuff, they'd give some shit, you know, they'd want to
right.
hear it. But, you know, we rarely make a set list, and we let the audience kind of chime in and give requests. And we always hear some stuff like play Fields in the first record, play Miles in the first record, play Giants. We hear that stuff.
Do you get free bird?
As long as you want to hear it, we'll keep playing it.
That's got to be a testament to how cohesive the band is if you're not actually putting together a set list and you're just kind of feeding off the crowd.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it. I mean, certainly the first three or four songs, we all know what we're going to play for the most part. You know, we're getting out there and hitting them hard with Wax Ecstatic and Rotting Pinata and Molly and stuff like that. But after that, we have such a catalog of tunes, it really seems a lot less fun to sit there and go, well, we're going to script this thing every night. We have everybody's kind of aware of what we might pull a song from, but
yeah.
What songs they are, nobody really.
That's pretty cool, though. Like every night is its own unique evening with Sponge, you know, like it's not going to be the same night every show. That's pretty cool. It's pretty special, really.
Yeah, I mean, we do not phone these shows in. I think that's why our crowds keep coming back and the audiences still seem enthused to want to participate and buy new records and keep coming to the shows, because it's not scripted. We can't phone this stuff in. You know, I think if people felt it was just a phony bunch of crap, they would not come back.
Hey, Vinny, I saw on your social media that you guys are doing a pub crawl in Detroit on March 9th, and you're... Yeah. Going to several different places. Do you play at each one of these places? You set up at each one of them and you take a bunch of people with you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've done this for several years now. And we have three locations that we're doing out here just around the Detroit area. But we have bands that are set up, kind of host bands that play in the venues. And when we arrive, we just show up with guitars and drumsticks and we jump up on the bandstand. And we play like, you know, it's a half hour set, 45 minutes in each venue. And then we load everybody back up on the buses and we'll ride on the buses with the folks that have purchased tickets and we roll to the next venue. So it's a lot of fun. But, you know, we did like the first time we did it, we did like five venues in one night, man. And we were just completely just, you know, crushed by the fifth venue.
Vinny,
you
know, this sounds like a logistical nightmare. This sounds... crazy. So
how many of those people that you brought with you initially actually make it to that last show, right? Like, because there's got to be partying on that bus, people got to be getting liquored up. Does everybody get off the bus for the last show?
I almost want to get off the bus for the last show. I gotta crawl into the club and do it. But yeah, there's some folks that maybe a couple of folks that don't quite make it, you know, just like, we're done. But man, everybody typically hangs in there for the most part.
Awesome. Are you guys pretty big partiers? Like when you think of like Lemmy, like just up until the end of his life, like he was fucking just drinking and smoking like crazy. Are you guys like that? Or as you know, start to rise up there in the years, you try to be more health conscious?
Well, we haven't joined the health club yet. There's been no real reason to, and we really love to have a good time and hang out with the fans. So I wouldn't say we're like Lemmy. You know, I'm not. I've heard stories about Lemmy. I've never partied with Lemmy, so I can't confirm or deny what how hard Lemmy partied. But I just know what I've heard. But you know, from what I've heard, certainly not quite our MO, man. That would probably, you know, bury us. You know, you know, Lemmy was like a legend, you know. So
right,
that's a deal.
In preparing to talk to you, I've watched several other interviews with you, and what you have is like a laid back confidence. You seem you're like a, you know, you carry yourself in a way that says like that you're extremely confident and that like you give no fucks. And I just wanted to know, is there ever a trickle of doubt, or do you just?
That is a weird question.
It is kind of a weird question, but like while I'm watching Vinny, I'm just going, God, this guy is moving forward and he doesn't give a shit. Do you doubt yourself, Vinny? Is it fake?
I think I can speak for a lot of people that are involved in music or the arts. You certainly have your doubts about a lot of things that you do and a lot of things that you're involved in. But at the end of the day, that doubt just cannot get the best of you, because it can completely immobilize you. I think that anybody that gets out on that stage has to have a certain amount of confidence just to kind of overcome the doubt. But I go through that kind of self-questioning every day, you know, with new songs that we write or.
Do you like listen back to him in the car and say, oh man, I should have done that different, or.
Well, as a song go, regrets, I've had a few, you know, I mean, you think about it. To us, you just want to be in the moment.
Yeah.
And you can't let your nerves, your moment away. And sometimes you can medicate and try to use that as a crutch, but that's stealing your moments too. So it's really like, yeah, do you have doubts? Sure, man. You get out of bed, you got doubts, but you can't let that stuff crush you. I think that, again, anybody that plays music or is involved in the arts, you have these questions about it. But the one thing that I am 1,000% confident about is like, I'm not going to let that stuff get the best of me. So that confidence I have, so it kind of just steamrolls every other doubt I might have.
Do you regret naming your band Sponge? Like, well, I see all these new bands that like the band Churches, but they have a V instead of the U, and I read that, yeah, that is to make them more Googleable, and I think of bands that are probably hard to Google, like the band Live is impossible to Google. I mean, what are you gonna look? Yeah, live band. What are you gonna? And I think that, yeah, Sponge would probably be one of those that would be hard. I mean, you Google Sponge Band and you guys have been around long enough that you find it. But I think of bands starting out and that it would probably be hard to have a name like that, because, like, you know, you have to build up. So what is that, Matt? Is it a CSIO or that thing that
yeah,
you get your Google stole.
Right.
So, yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I it's just something I thought about, and like you and Live were the first two I thought about that would probably be hard for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, I don't regret naming the band Sponge. Back in the day, who would have thought about Google or internet, right, searches or anything like that? So it just ended up being that, and I just go, there it is. So you go up 25, 30 years later, almost really since the band started, it's still around. Just go, holy smokes!
Now, Vinny, do you think that with the way that music kind of made a shift, with the way things were back then in the 90s, where, you know, record deals and, you know, get your records out there and go on tour, and that's how you made it big, compared to now where, you know, everything, you stream it, you know, on YouTube and all these different ways that people consume their music, do you think that the climate shift with where we're at now and how people consume music makes it easier for you guys to still be a band and do your thing, or do you think it's more difficult?
It's made it easier for us to be out there, only because radio, like we knew it, has kind of evaporated. Now, don't get me wrong, radio, terrestrial radio still plays sponge, and there are a lot of ways on non-terrestrial radio that people still can get a hold of the band. So for the fact that radio has changed, it's made it more difficult. But I think that because of the ability for us to reach out directly to our fans via social media, that has helped us out a lot. Now, isn't that big of a game changer for us? I mean, people really engage regarding ticket purchases and talking about shows and promoting shows via social media. So it's really made it better for us, for sure. Would we be gone without it? I really don't know, because people still go to concerts, you know, and people put together tours. And so we're certainly still a part of that. And the live aspect of what we do, in one way or another, I think would still survive.
So the 25th anniversary of Rotting Piñata is right now. Vinny, I had a sponge t-shirt in junior high. I had the kid with the candy corn on it.
Candy corn.
It's a pleasure to talk. I have one more question, though.
You're gonna ask the WFOD patented question?
Now, Travis, Vinny, he's been on stages pretty much his entire life. Vinny, when you go up on stage, you sing your sponge tunes. What do you do with your wallet? Is your wallet on you? Do you leave your wallet backstage?
Yeah, man. You know, it's like a couple of years ago, I was carrying my wallet, you know, but the thing is, it's on stage with me, but it's in my bag. I kind of have adopted the Chuck Berry, Aretha Franklin type of thing. And it's funny, because I heard about Aretha and Chuck doing this kind of stuff, where it's like, you know, Chuck would always get paid in cash and carry the money always with him in close proximity. And me, I really haven't changed that. My wallet was either with me or in a bag on the stage. And I'm kind of old school when it comes to that kind of thing. You know, I don't like getting jacked, and I keep all that stuff with me on the deck. If somebody's going to try to get it, they got to come up on the deck to get it. You know what I mean?
So you bring a bag out with you and just set it by a speaker so you can keep an eye on it?
Yeah, well, we have a tour manager that is with us on the road, and he puts the bag across his shoulder and brings it up onto the deck and puts it maybe near the drum riser or something like that. Yeah, because it just, you know, some venues, they don't have adequate dressing rooms.
I think that's my favorite answer so far.
Mike, I think that's the first time we've had a band have a guy that kind of kept track of.
That's the best answer so far.
That's the best answer.
We need to make a spreadsheet of these.
Well, we've had on the speaker, we've had in the green room or the dressing room, we've had in our pocket. But yeah, I love having a guy keeping track.
Keep it in the bag.
That's great.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's like the bag goes onto the deck. So whether or not the guy has the bag and has placed it someplace, I've walked. If I don't have my guy with me for whatever reason on a gig, I bring the bag on the deck again. It's like, you know, old school Chuck Berry stuff. That the stories that I've heard, and I go, you can't mess with that. It works.
It works.
We continue to operate like that. Mm-hmm.
Guys, at Sponge the Band on Twitter, tour dates, merch, all their social media links, spongethebandcom. Vinny, we appreciate you spending some time with us. Get a St. Louis date on there so we can see you live.
Man, we just did a gig. I'm trying to think of the name of the town. It was probably 45 minutes from.
Oh, were you at Wayback Point Fest, weren't you?
We did that in the summer, and we just did a gig, Edwardsville, which is still Illinois, but it was, we thought it was like near Chicago, but it was closer to St. Louis.
Yeah, Edwardsville's not far away at all. Is that a Pops over between the strip clubs?
No.
What's an average Edwardsville? Oh,
the college, that's about it.
Oh,
yeah, no, we played the Wildy Theater.
I have no idea what that is. Never
it was a great, great theater, man. And they treated us like kings, and the room sounded great, but it was a classic old vaudeville theater that they've the city has restored and maintains, and they have entertainment, and they asked us to come out and play, and we had a great time. So we were close, and that was probably the first weekend of February. So it like, wasn't too long ago.
Just a couple weeks ago? Yeah. I screwed that up.
Yeah. It's probably still on our site.
Oh.
But we'll get out there, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, Vinny.
You guys are from all over the place.
Yeah, yeah, we're all over
it. St. Louis, Milwaukee.
Yeah, we're all over the place.
Wisconsin and Missouri. Where else we got, Matt? Where are you at?
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. We're surrounding you, Vinny.
All over the place.
Vinny's over in Detroit. So
well, joyous of the internet.
All right, fellas. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, good to talk to you too, Vinny. Take care.
Thanks, Vinny. Appreciate
Cheers.
It.
Bye.
Charles, I like Vinny.
I like Vinny as well.
He's a good guy. Okay. Guy Sponge is one of the bands I liked as a teenager. I mean, I say liked. I still like. I like all the bands I liked when I was a teenager. That's what music isn't really for me anymore. I'm stuck with
what I had. That
I feel like every generation is that way too, aren't they?
Yeah. You liked when you were 14.
Yeah.
It's the pretty much it.
I don't know that music's not necessarily for you anymore, because the reality is I find bands all the time that are current and new that I really love, and I find myself getting into. But yeah, like I guess whatever's popular, that's the stuff that you're not, that's not for you anymore.
Matt, I'm gonna cut out the part where I told him to come to St. Louis and he said I was just in St. Louis 2 weeks ago. Cut that part out.
You gotta leave that in there. He said he was describing a really nice nice theater in Edwardsville.
Travis, I got a question for you, okay? This is important.
For me?
Yeah, Travis, in 1989, Two Live Crew wrote the lyrics, sitting at home with my dick hard, so I got out my black book looking for a freak to call. So, Travis, the question I have for you is, can you kids bop that shit?
Kids bop that shit? Grandma got me a new gift card, so I grabbed a good book and headed off to the mall.
Guys, Matt, and I, like we just said, we're all over the world. I don't know how things work where you guys are. Do you guys just get like a big handful of bullshit in your mailbox every day? Like a big packet of ads? Like you get like a newspaper full of bullshit?
Yeah, I think everybody gets
every
that.
Day.
Oh, the newspaper, like the circular? I get that like once every, maybe once a month, once every couple of weeks, maybe.
You don't get it every day?
No, just the once.
Travis,
once
I get a fucking booklet of bullshit.
It's a Bible, I swear.
Every day in my mailbox.
Well, except Sunday, obviously.
And I mean, like, all I do is I walk the booklet of bullshit from my mailbox to the trash can.
Well, you got to check the inside because that's where your actual mail is.
Well, I mean, but yeah, Mike, I flip through it. I didn't make sure that knows
you. You get your haircut at one of those chain places, right? Don't they have coupons for haircuts?
I get a Bed Bath and Beyond. I get a Steak and Shake coupons, Travis. I get it's bullshit.
Our circular is trying to get you to get a satellite dish from either company,
right?
And then also is giving you coupons for haircuts, Domino's Pizza, and Culver's.
There's a gutter guy.
Yep, I got like 9 different places to get an oil change.
Yeah, yeah, and every day I take it out of my mailbox and I throw it away. And I was thinking, now, I am not...
You should use those. Some of them are good.
I am not the intended audience for these circulars, because I don't look at them. I just throw them away. I am a waste of money. If I were to give the post office, like, a certain amount of money to not give them to me, they would make money off of me that they would make for the circular. And the circular wouldn't have to waste money on people that they're not going to get anything from. So, like, I essentially pay for, like, a spam blocker on my actual physical mail.
But you never know, right?
No, I do know. I don't want them. I don't look at them.
Yeah, but so, for example, you know the Steak and Shake one comes, right? Because it's either the first or the last page.
Like Charter Cable? I would pay Charter Cable to not send me mail every day. I would give them $1 a month to not send me their advertisements.
I believe that's Spectrum now.
Whatever it is. I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want to throw it away every day. It's a waste of paper. It's a waste of my time.
The thing about it is, Mike, though, one of the days, and I'm sure there's a lot of people like you, but that circular is going to come in the mail at just the right time in somebody's life who feels the same way you do. Like maybe somebody's pissed off at Time Warner Cable or somebody's pissed off at DirecTV. They're going to see that, and just out of spite, they're going to be like, yeah, fuck you, DirecTV. Here's Spectrum offering me an amazing deal on my first 2 years.
So today's, you know what I mean? The day.
Today's the day.
They just catch you at the right time.
Or, you know, like if you got that front or back page and the new place, like for example, we just got a new Chick-fil-A. Well, if you didn't know, we just got the new Chick-fil-A.
Right, or it's Carl's Jr., which back is Hardee's in circular. My Hardee's in my area, maybe just released some ridiculous burger that I've never heard of or seen, and it's got 16 different ingredients topped on there. The regular price is $9.99, and they give it to me for $7.99. I might go try that out.
Okay, what about a program where they agree to just save all of it for like one day? Just say, hey man, like we're gonna hold all this for you and give it to you all on the 25th.
I'm quite positive you don't get it 6 days a week.
I get it every day, Drunk.
There's no way.
Every day I throw away that big circular
full of
shit.
I get it like a good 3 or 4 days a week, but not six.
Well, they only deliver mail six. You're saying four, I'm saying six. What's the fucking difference?
There's a difference.
I mean, in the grand scheme of things, what's the fucking difference?
2 whole days.
Okay, Drunk, I agree with you. I probably get it 4 days a week instead of six.
Do you not check your mail every day?
No, you're right, Drunk. You got me. It's 4 days a week.
So that's 3 days you're not getting it.
So I should just... Well, they don't deliver mail on Sundays.
So you're not obviously not pulling them out the circulars that day.
On
maybe
the day
you
they
could
don't
think of a fun craft to do. With
did you hear Matt's moan? Matt wanted to be on my side. Matt, you want to be on my side on that? That's a terrible argument, right?
I feel like if you
it's the worst argument I've ever heard.
Take these circulars and like decoupage something, right? Like just take all the Steak and Shake circulars and just like make a nice decorative clock, right? Like take the cover off, decoupage the inside, put the cover back on. You got a nice Steak and Shake clock.
It's true.
Like you know those leaf bags that you can make a big spider?
Oh yeah. You make your jack-o'-lanterns.
Maybe I could start making Steak and Shake circular bags.
Do you guys have anybody in your lives that like save them for you and hand them to you? Like,
my grandma
I know
used
you
to,
like Steak and Shake. Here's some coupons.
I feel like that's a grandparent thing.
You know what my lady does with them? She makes name tags out of them.
What?
Yeah.
Like she cuts out the little letters to like write
like a serial killer?
Serial
or
killer notes?
Absolutely.
All right. That's really kind of terrifying.
And she makes the name tags for the
serial killer girlfriend. Those dressers are just filled with her letters that she makes out of these circulars.
That's what
manifesto.
Jussie Smollett's guy could use for his defense, Matt. He could say, I was just decoupaging name tags for myself. Right?
He needs to do something. He needs to figure something out.
He's trying to figure out his salary.
I can't wait to, I can't wait for his interview with like fucking Good Morning America or whatever. Because you know that's coming up.
He's got to go on Dr. Phil, and Dr. Phil's got to say, what were you thinking?
Yeah.
That's what he's got to say. That's what Dr. Phil says, right, guys?
Yeah.
I mean, Dr. Phil's okay, right? What were you thinking?
He's all right.
I'm Dr. Phil. That's the best impression is when
it's
you
like
say
a,
who you
it's
are.
It's like a southern, it's like a slowed down foghorn leghorn.
Guys, I'm Dr. Phil.
Yeah, if I'm going to go daytime TV, I guess I prefer, Family Feud or something.
No. I got in the chat. Lisa says that is a great impression. See? Is there any other celebrities you guys want me to do?
Jack, can you do Jack Nicholson?
Guys, it's me, Jack Nicholson. See, spot that's on. That's what
spot
you do.
Spot on.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Can you do, how about Neil Patrick Harris?
Hey, guys, it's me, Neil Patrick Harris.
That's hey, Mike, good. Can you do Bob Saget?
Is this a little too early for being that loud?
Since 2011, you've watched 15 seasons, and from that, generated 0 stars. From coast to coast, contestants 13 years of age and older line up to be window dressing in an Adam Levine, Blake Shelton circle jerk with 2 other interchangeable has-beens. This season, our stale premise gets a makeover. It's The Voice as you've never seen it before. Have I mentioned yet that you are watching The Voice? This season on The Voice, we've abandoned singers altogether in search of a new type of talent. Our celebrity judges are tasked with finding America's greatest Jack Nicholson impression.
Hi, my name's Benny. I'm from the greater Philadelphia area. Doing Jack Nicholson impressions has always been a passion of mine, and I hope everyone likes it.
Hey, what are you doing here? You should be out bird dogging chicks and banging beaver.
That's Jack Nicholson in the movie One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
You still got 2 out of 3 branches of the government working for you, and that ain't bad.
That's Jack Nicholson in Mars Attacks.
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
That's Jack Nicholson as the Joker in the movie Batman.
Hey, Blake, you got a tongue? There, you want a mouth?
Yeah, I just need a small crack of space to get a word in.
I got a small crack of space for you. I couldn't help it.
Hey, what it is, man, it's your boy T-Pain, and this is WFOD.
If they're allowed to run free, could this be you? Join the fight to boycott Nabisco at WFODix.com.
In order to claim that trophy, we must finish the job. Once again,
WFOD. Wheelbarrow full of dicks.
I got a request in the chat for a Gordon Ramsay drop. Okay. Shut it down! I'm Gordon Ramsay! No?
What are you? An idiot sandwich.
It's fucking back!
Right. So we need to end this wake out of the business.
Enjoy the moment for a moment. Wait, is Uncle Hall saying that my Gordon Ramsay is awful?
Hey, I was having a moment there.
I thought that was pretty good, Travis. I thought it was pretty. My Gordon Ramsay was spot on.
I was doing my like.
Shut it down! I'm Gordon Ramsay! I'm sorry.
Come on.
It was back in Little Ben that I saw.
Oh, no, you can turn it off.
That was changing on the water. Where birds above had flown.
Guys, welcome back.
Get to the fryer.
Are you doing Gordon Ramsay Schwarzenegger?
Yep.
We're doing hybrids now?
Yep. They said your impression sounds like Arnold, so I figured that was only fitting.
Maybe they meant like Arnold Palmer, the golfer. They wouldn't mean Arnold Schwarzenegger, because I can do Arnold Schwarzenegger. Hey, I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger. See?
Like that was more like Fozzie Bear.
So, Drunko, what are you saying about Nabisco?
Yeah, we gotta end our Nabisco strike.
Why is that?
I don't know if you saw, but this week they are coming out with the Game of Thrones Oreos.
Does a Game of Thrones Oreo just taste like an Oreo?
I don't know. But I'm sure they're gonna be delicious because just about everything Oreo puts
out is
delicious.
Wait, there's a Game of Thrones Oreo?
Yeah.
It just has a dragon on it, but it's an Oreo, right? I mean, like, what does Game of Thrones taste like?
It's probably the crests of the different families on the outside of the cookie.
Yeah,
like the Stark.
Matt, me and you were talking about Oreos earlier.
We were talking about the fucking carrot cake Oreo.
Yeah, Drunk, you didn't hear that, did you?
Carrot cake Oreo.
Oh, see, that ruins the
carrot
bit.
Cake.
See, because I have a theory. And I don't know this to be true because I'm the one that purchases them, and I haven't ever blindfolded myself and tested it. But I think that Oreos with special flavors taste like the special flavor because you're expecting the special flavor. Like, I ate the carrot cake Oreos.
Carrot cake.
And they tasted like carrot cake, but I was thinking to myself while I was tasting this, it tastes a lot like the birthday cake Oreos, and I think that if I didn't already know it was supposed to taste like carrot cake, I'm not sure if I would say, it tastes like carrot cake.
I disagree with you. I
do too. The Cinnabons are spot on. The Red Velvets are spot on.
They're fucking amazing, dude. Like, all of their... Their birthday cake, I'm telling you right now, if you went back and had the birthday cake Oreo, you'd be like, holy shit, this is two totally different cakes. Like, these yep. are, unless you've had carrot cake every one of your fucking birthdays.
The apple pie, spot on.
Oh my god, that apple pie cookie.
There's an apple pie?
They had an apple pie, it's during the summer
Oreo?
Time. Yeah, right. yeah.
Yeah. Amazing.
The only one I didn't like was the watermelon one. I couldn't get behind the watermelon.
I didn't like it either, but that motherfucker tastes like watermelon.
Did it taste like watermelon, or did it taste like how watermelon...
It tasted like a watermelon Laffy Taffy, is what it tastes
like. Like, watermelon doesn't taste like watermelon candy. Watermelon just pretty much tastes like nothing.
But I'm telling you, the Oreo watermelon cookie tasted like that candy... Which is, that's what it was trying to go for.
It sounds really gross.
It wasn't good, and I didn't like it.
Yeah,
but
that's the only Oreo one I couldn't get behind.
Their cookie flavors.
Uncle really Hall is suggesting a meat pie Oreo. Hey, see, now I could get behind it. Like, maybe put like a...
He says dove pie, but it's actually pigeon pie.
Like a jerky kind of thing in there? Make kind of a meaty Oreo?
Didn't we have a bit... That we never produced for that. It was like an NFL flavor Oreo flavors.
Buffalo
like
wing style.
Buffalo wing Oreos and like Bud Light Oreos. We should have produced that bit.
Well, it's never too late, Travis. We can telegraph it and just do it next week. Well, who gives a shit? Right.
Yeah, just all you got to do is email your bit to Mike and he'll fucking make
it for
you.
Yeah, this is our art. We can do whatever we want.
Hey, are you a listener and has a bit idea?
Shit, I... Drunk, I forgot all about that. That apple pie Oreo was one of the greatest.
I know. You don't gotta tell me.
It was so good.
Man.
It tasted it. I honestly, you bite into that cookie and chew on it, and you almost felt like there were like baked apples in your mouth.
I know.
That it was amazing.
Matt, I got another pitch for you here. So my P.O. Box spam blocker idea, not great. But this one is good, and it's food related. Mm-hmm. I went to the Five Below the other day, and they had fruit stripe gum.
For those that don't have a Five Below, you might want to.
Yeah, I guess that's where you pick up middle schoolers.
Five Below, it's brilliant because you go in with a dollar store mentality drunk.
Right.
But everything's like $5, which isn't cheap, really. But like you're thinking, oh, well, it's only $5, which is what you do in the dollar store. I mean, like I fill up a goddamn cart at the dollar store because everything's a dollar. Why wouldn't I just get it? Right. And then you go to Five Below and it's like, oh, this place has really good stuff. I got to get all this dumb shit.
There are some things cheaper than $5 at the Five Below.
Yeah. So I got me some fruit stripe gum, and I swear to God, I remember liking fruit stripe gum as a boy.
For 2 seconds, and then you got to spit it out because it loses its flavor so quick.
I rode an elevator from the lower level to the ground floor, and while I was waiting for the elevator, I put two pieces of fruit stripe gum in my mouth. Mm-hmm. And by the time I got off the elevator, it had lost its flavor. The fruit stripe gum, the fucking thing just dies.
Yeah, I knew exactly where you were going with that one.
I think they've even like promoted that type of product. Like I think they make sure that the flavor blasts out of there.
What's the product you're talking about?
The fruit stripe gum.
See, Matt. My idea is
it kicks you right in the face.
My idea
and
then
is goes man, away.
You sell like a little, like a thing like the size of like a eye drops, with a little like syringe in it.
Yeah,
you can refresh your gum.
Mike, they totally make that.
Do they? Do they make it already?
I was about to say, like the mint stuff.
They make it too. Like my kid had, they make it in different kinds. It comes, it's like a thing of gum, and then connected to it is like this, almost like this same thing, like a tincture that you pull off of it, and you can put it on the gum beforehand. You can drop it into your mouth during chewing, or you can just like enjoy it on its own.
Oh, well then, never mind, guys.
So that is a great idea because it exists and sells.
You ever had that Gatorade gum? Now that stuff lasts.
I liked the Gatorade gum back in the day. Did they still make that?
Gatorade gum. Yep. I forgot that they did a cherry cola Oreo. I did not like
that
one.
We didn't like
a chicka cherry
either.
Cola?
Matt. Yeah, they did a chicka cherry cola. That was not good.
Matt, we touched on the Jussie guy. I mean, everybody's talking about the Jussie guy. We don't really need to talk about the Jussie
from
guy.
From MTV?
No, the guy from Empire that hired Nigeria. By the way, they're saying Nigerians. The guys grew up in Chicago. They were born in Chicago. Their parents were Nigerian. So they're just saying Nigerian so that they don't have to say black.
So that's like them calling me Irish.
Right. They say an Irish gentleman just so they can say it's a white guy.
Right.
But they can't say white guy. But I
we can say white guy.
The Jussie guy. And the Oscars this week, I think that is like the final straw for me to, I have to get rid of Twitter. I have to just delete it off of my phone. I can still post show stuff from like other sites.
It would probably be wise for you to get rid of all social media.
You'll have a better life.
Travis,
the show will suffer, but that's okay.
The show is the show, mm-hmm. You know? Will it suffer drunk? Will it really? I watched the Oscars the other night and like I was kind of
all 17 hours of the Oscars
drunk.
Did you, you know, they started at like 8 a.m. with this red carpet show, right?
Drunk. I'm not a racist man myself, but I'm watching the Oscars and it's just so obvious. Like just, every presenter and every award is going to, like, no white people won.
Right.
And, like, the only white person who presented was Charlize Theron, who's from Africa.
Right.
And, like, through the whole thing, I'm just going, It's kind of weird that no white people are.
So you're saying they went a little overkill from a couple years ago?
Yeah, yeah, like pandering. It's obvious pandering.
I think that they have to kind of pander, and I mean it's going to be obvious. Like, you know, maybe fortunately for us, Mike, we're so woke that it doesn't matter.
Right, right. I mean, I don't see color, Matt, but I did notice that everybody that got up there to accept awards was black or Mexican.
I think it's got to be to the extreme this way for a little while, and then hopefully we can just, you know,
like even it out.
Yeah, like 10 years down the road, then we can finally just be like, all right, we're done with this. Let's stop with the whole white, black, gay, trans. Like, we're just people. Let's live our lives and let people live our lives. And honestly, until people stop being such cunts.
So,
know?
Matt, I wake up the next morning, and you know, I sit
Monday
down.
Monday morning.
I sit down on the toilet, and the first thing I goddamn do is look at Twitter. I spend way too much time on Twitter just mindlessly scrolling, looking for anything.
When he could have been just playing the Bubble Panda game.
Right. I could have been killing bubble pandas. I could have been like writing, which I really enjoyed doing. There is a lot of outlets that I really enjoyed doing. But now I just spend all my time scrolling stupid Twitter. But what I found is I think that Twitter is purposely putting shit in my news feed to make me crazy.
All right. So you are going crazy, Mike, and actually you're going insane.
Matt, let me finish.
That you honestly check out of your house right now. I want you to go to an institute, check yourself in, and get the help that you need.
Matt.
You think that Twitter... Go ahead.
I was messaging you guys about how weird it was that everybody who won and everybody who presented was black. I mean, like, there's not really that many black people in the entertainment. I mean, there's plenty, it turns out, but I mean, like, you know, noteworthy ones. I mean, like, you know, like Queen Latifah. Where the fuck did they find Queen Latifah and get her on stage? Is Queen Latifah like somebody who should be presenting at the Oscars? I mean, like, they were just finding people that, like, is like,
again, they're going to be overcompensating for a while.
But then the next day, Matt, I get on Twitter and the top story is, yeah, oh my God, black people are so mad that Green Book won Best Picture.
See, yeah, I think you just all of that stuff, like the Oscars were never good. Like, you never liked the Oscars 10 years ago. You didn't like them 5 years ago. You didn't like them 2 years ago.
I liked them when I was a kid and Billy Crystal was hosting.
Man, I know that like four people probably brought up that they didn't like Green Book won.
Mike, this is what happens. It's one of those clickbait websites. They put out something that people responded to, and then all of a sudden it becomes a Twitter moment and it starts to trend and people have an opinion from the other side or one way or another. It doesn't matter. One-sided opinion happens,
yeah,
and it trends it even further, and it stays there for 12 hours, and then it gets people worked up, and then there's all of a sudden like this backlash. It's a cycle, and you know this. You see this cycle happening over literally everything every day.
Mike, did you watch the Green Book movie?
I didn't, no. But I mean, I kind of know what it's about. But they were saying, oh, there's a white guy who saves the day.
Well, and to be fair, the Green Book movie is The Help. It's The Blind Side. It definitely very much is the story of, like, hey, here's white guy who protects or saves or brings up black guy, but also learns a little bit about himself and how not to be so racist. You know, he had a little racism in him, but,
like,
you
driving
know,
Miss Daisy.
It was the same.
Remember the thing. Titans. And
I get it. Like, the movie itself, this is what drives me nuts. As you look at these award shows and the movies that are coming up, right? Like, I haven't seen the Lady Gaga Bradley Cooper movie.
Oh my God, they were eye fucking each other like crazy, Matt.
That I watched the Bohemian Rhapsody, and I'll tell you, that Bohemian Rhapsody doesn't deserve 1 ounce, 1 second, 1 fucking minute of anybody's time. It is such a bad movie. It was up for awards for like best edited movie, best It was so bad. It was just a bad movie. It was cliche as shit. There was no creativity to it. And it's up for all of these awards.
Well, you know, I heard
same thing with The Green Book. The Green Book is not a good movie. It's not a life-changing, you know, I watched that and was like, oh my God, like what, this is a filmmaking masterpiece right here. It was like, hey, there's a movie. Like
That's the problem with these awards show and the Oscars are, you know, not any different, is that there's a board of people that vote on these things.
Right.
And all of these studios that made these movies, it's like politics. The studios are like super PACs that are planting a shit ton of money behind all of these movies to get these people on the Oscars, the Academy board, to vote for them to make them win these awards. It's bullshit.
The last time that I cared about any of the Oscar movies that had come out was that year when like Birdman and that drumming movie came out with the Whiplash. I think those came out around the same year. And I loved those movies. Like, I remember watching
Whiplash was fucking great.
Whiplash was an amazing movie and just had me, you know, if you can take a movie where that stupid fucking actor, whatever his name is, Miles is playing Teller. Drums the whole time, like, and have me really into the movie, like you did a good thing. Like that was a really well-made movie.
But
Birdman was a lot of fun.
The slant is, it's infuriating. And I think that Twitter is bad for me, and I think that it'll be hard, but I think I have to get it out of my life. There was tons of reporters reporting on that Jussie Smollett guy who faked getting jumped because he wanted to get a bigger paycheck on the TV show he was on.
Mm-hmm.
And the reporter, like, after all this shit came out and everybody had their moment to say how wrong it was that this guy got beat up and stuff, the story slowly slanted. And I mean, like, granted, the garbage people who wanted him to be faking it the whole time, I mean, like, they were right. And so that sucks.
But in reality, why do we know this guy's name? And you know, anytime anybody gets beat up, it's a horrible thing. But
yeah.
Why was this a thing that lasted for days, only to it's all of these things.
But
it's
the slant, was Travis.
Who was that red shirt guy? Remember that big red shirt guy with the mustache that everybody loved for
Ken Bone?
And then all of a sudden everybody hated him. Why right. does anybody know who any of these people are? And why
well,
are we
Jussie
bringing this
Smollett,
up?
He's on a television show. He's
yeah, but still, like, why put a spot if he's not making enough money? That means what is he like? He's like 32 on the call list. Do we even know who this guy is in the first place?
But what the media does is they went to this press conference and were filming the other people in the media making comments about how they can't believe there's so much media here. And they're making the story that, like, we're all a bunch of bloodthirsty fuck faces. Like,
which
while being a bloodthirsty fuckface.
Mike, it is the exact same thing as the people who retweet Donald Trump bitching about Donald Trump and wondering why Donald Trump isn't fucking news every day.
Everybody replies to Donald Trump.
Everybody.
And they all think that they really did something. Oh, we got him.
I do love the people that like to retweet Donald Trump. And they're like, oh, here's a thing, Mr. President. And then, like, just a bunch of shit. And it's like, he's not reading it, guy. Like,
no, but he's loving the fact that it's getting so much attention.
Yeah, you're just another number on his retweet. Like, he's not reading your individual response. He's just looking at, oh, great. Like, I have, 150,000 retweets.
Oh, it's getting a lot of responses. So next time I tweet, I should tweet something like
that.
And
people really are
I'm
dumb.
Way like, too plugged into it all. And I have to find my way out of it. I have to. It's making me crazy.
I got the solution for
you.
I got a solution.
It's like, not ready? A difficult thing to
What's
do.
That?
Find your way out of it.
It's not hard.
Here's what you do.
Okay.
You do like a tiered level.
You get a flip phone. and you get rid of your data package.
No, you don't have to go to the extreme.
I rely way too much on Spotify and Stitcher and stuff.
Start with taking Twitter and putting it, don't have it on like your home screen, right? Put it in your menu somewhere so you have to make two extra steps to get to it. Like, you wouldn't think that would make that much of a difference, but it absolutely does if it's not like as soon as you open your phone, it's right there. And then as you do that, you can slowly make it to where when you do look at Twitter, you're not actually reading shit. You're scrolling to the very top of it and maybe possibly looking for the people you like until you remove it from your phone altogether and just look at it.
I just deleted the app from my telephone. It probably won't stick, but right now it's not on my telephone.
Replace the bad habit with a good habit. So if you're going to delete Twitter off of your phone or whatever it is, fine. Delete it off of there. But then replace,
I like cocaine.
Just replace it with, like you say, you love to write and stuff like that. Like, fucking get an app that you write with, and then time you think about checking Twitter, don't check Twitter and just write something.
Put that writing app where your Twitter app is on your phone.
Right.
Replace
your bad habit with your good habit.
Like a bunch of stories that I started on my old iPad, and I've been bringing my old iPad to work. And occasionally popping it open and writing a few extra paragraphs. But
well, if you like to write, we haven't done a romance that's dead in like a year and a half. So
it's so weird. Like I feel like so just empty. Like I used to like the it all just flowed so naturally, and I had so much in the tank that I could come up with ideas for days.
Yeah.
And just over time, it's just diminished to nothing. And I don't know if it's Twitter. I don't know if it's age. I don't know what it is, but
I hate to see it. And I know how you feel because, when we were doing the show, with the Lotus Cast and every fucking day, I was devoting hours upon hours to content and guests and making sure that the next show was this is what we're going to do. And I had an outline and whatever would happen. We obviously did a lot of stuff off the cuff. But I mean that dried up I have no motivation at all, to do it. And that's why that died. And it is hard keeping that motivation really for anything.
Well, and the weird thing is I have the motivation. Like doing the show is a highlight of my week. I really enjoy doing the show, but when I reach into that bag that used to be just full to pluck things out of,
to pluck from.
There's nothing there anymore. I'm out. I'm empty.
Maybe you find a different medium besides Twitter to find your news from.
Well, Twitter's gone. I deleted it off my phone. I'll check it in the evening.
I recommend going to yahoo.com.
Does Yahoo have news?
Of course. They got a lot of news right there.
I guess what the thing is,
it's just like MSN, buddy.
What happens is I get it as it happens, and then I get every shithead's dumb reaction to it. The MAGA hat kid. I mean, I was following the MAGA hat kid in real time, and I was watching, and I was like, the kid's just standing there. Does he look like a prick? Right. Sure, but he didn't punch anybody. He didn't do anything. What are we getting mad at the MAGA kid for? And then, everybody had a fucking opinion of MAGA kid. And I read
need to realize
the dumbest people in the world's opinions of something. And why do I need to see everyone's dumb opinion about MAGA hat kid?
Well, and that's why I think a lot of times when you say things, where you're everybody is saying this or everybody's saying that, my response is typically, no, the internet is saying that. The real world is not, because, if you step away from Twitter and walk around in the real world, it is not
the vocal
how
minority.
It's being projected on social media, right? It's not that. Everybody's so furious about everything all the time, and saying everybody's an asshole and all whites suck and all blacks suck and all, you know, I mean, it's just a constant battle of us versus them. But the real world is not that.
It's the ones that yell the loudest, Mike.
I'll tell you who's not scrolling goddamn Twitter all day and just getting mad is that Vinny from Sponge.
No, Vinny, he's chill. He's out there making music.
Dude, Vinny's fucking flying by the seat of his pants through his set list.
Fucking, yeah, he's taking requests from the crowd. You know, Matt, did I ever tell you my Stone Temple Pilots story?
No.
Man, I went and saw Stone Temple Pilots. They were opening for Aerosmith.
It's a hell of a show.
And Stone Temple Pilots, they go out on stage, they play a couple of songs, and then Scott Weiland asked the crowd, does anybody have any requests? And put the microphone out into the crowd, and the guy yelled, Interstate Love Song.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so mad, because, I mean, like, of course they're going to play Interstate Love Song.
Like, right.
Pick something weird. What are you going to pick one of the hits for, you dumbass? This was your shot and you blew it.
Yeah. Right. You're not going to yell dead and bloated.
Did I ever tell you the time we saw, it was Shinedown before the Sound of Madness took off, but they still had a pretty good track record, and like 45 was huge, really good song.
I saw them down the barrel of a 45.
Saw them at a fair, actually, before they got big, and I've seen them subsequently, but we were at this fair, and the lead singer of Shinedown put the mic down to this kid in the crowd, and he invited him up on stage. So there's this kid, he's probably 19, 20 years old. He brought him on stage and they're doing 45. And he's like, he puts the microphone in front of the kid to sing 45, which is a very well-known song that anybody should be able to like belt out. The kid's just like silent. Just like says nothing.
Gee, I think he was
shoving
nervous,
the microphone
Travis?
In his face, and he just will not say anything. What did you say?
You think he was nervous?
Well, yeah.
Had a little bit of the stage fright.
But you got to take advantage. I mean, why'd you get up on stage at all then, right? Of course they're going to put the microphone in your face and tell you to sing sing the part about where'd my life go. You know what I mean?
Me and Napier went to a festival show in Kansas City. And we drove to Kansas City. And by the third band.
Wait, who'd you go with?
Napier.
How's he doing?
Well, I mean, this was years ago.
Yeah, but how's he doing now?
I don't know. I haven't talked to him. And by the third band, he was ready to leave. He wanted to go back to the hotel. And I was like, we drove to Kansas City to stay here for all day and watch a festival show. He goes, yeah, but I got to poop. I was like, well, I mean, sorry, dude, but I mean, we're not going to leave.
Paid festival prices
we
to see
paid festival
bands.
Prices and I drove across the state of Missouri to see this show. But anyway, Shinedown was there. And the guy told this big, long, drawn out story about how when you feel the wind in your hair, that's probably your dead friend, like telling you, you know, that everything's going to be okay.
He got a little too preachy.
He got really,
before,
really
he,
preachy.
That must have been before he got off drugs, or maybe right after.
So the next day we drive home, and pretty much the same exact group of people were at a festival in St. Louis I had won free tickets on the radio to go to. And we went there and caught Shinedown, and he did the exact same speech the next night.
That's so fun.
Like word for word. And I mean, like, he put so much passion into it. Like he really meant it, Travis.
Oh, that's the way. Oh, and he's trying to spread the gospel, man.
Yeah.
About wind in your hair, you know?
You know who I imagine does that, because I always see videos about their speeches. Is that Disturbed guy? Like, he's always given some sort of speech about something, and at like, oh, this inspires you to be the best you, and it's just like, please.
It's good
stop.
Advice though to be the best you. You know.
You know, speaking of going to a show and then like having somebody kind of like take you away from it. Joe and I went to a show with a buddy of ours. We went to go see Incubus. And Deftones opened for Incubus.
What? And
yeah.
Oh, reverse that. That doesn't make any sense.
No, it was Deftones opening for Incubus. And, you know, we were really excited for the show. We get there and you know, we watched Deftones and they were fucking great. And then Incubus gets like four songs in, and the and me and Joe are like, we're really into it. And we even get like closer to the stage, like than we were than the tickets that we bought. And so we're like really having a good time. And the guy that we went with was like, he looks at us. He, no joke. Four songs in, he's like, I think they're done with the hits. I think we should go. I was like, dude, what? And he's like, yeah, I think we should get out of here. I think we should leave before the crowd. I'm like, really? Like, and he's the one who drove us there.
I think they're done with the hits.
Yeah, he's the guy who yeah,
that's,
down to the
that's
show.
What bands typically do is they play all their hits up front so that you can leave.
And right. As we walk out, like they as we walk from the stadium out to his fucking car, we hear songs like Pardon Me. Just all of their biggest hits.
Oh yeah, those super, B-sides.
Did you make super passive aggressive comments like, oh yeah, there's another one of those deep cuts?
Oh man, it was so awkward because like we were walking out and it's just like, oh, there's
yeah, I went to see see Muse so, like before they got big, and they were at some small theater, and I went and saw them with a friend of mine, and we really liked the opening band. And the guy was like really excited about the opening band. He was like, God, those guys were great, man. That was really good. And then like Muse came out and like they played like three songs. And he goes, well, I mean, you know, that opening band, they were really good. I don't know if Muse is going to top them, but are you ready to just get out of here? I'm like, dude, what? We've seen like three songs of the headliner. What yeah. the fuck are you talking about?
Who are you guys going to concerts with? Jesus Christ.
Boneheads, I guess, drunk. Although, I'll tell you, the last couple times I've gone to a concert, I've been ready to go before it was over. I didn't stay through... I went and saw... A Walk the Moon? Mm-hmm. I didn't stay till the end to Walk the Moon.
The one time I think I was a bummer at a concert... was before we even walked in the doors when I passed out like a really quick faint job in front of Prince's First Avenue Club, waiting in line to see George Clinton and the Parliament Funkadelic.
Fuck yes.
Yeah. I'm getting old, guys. I'm just yeah. no fun anymore.
Joe and I went to see Metallica at the Patriots stadium a couple years ago. And I'll never forget just like, oh, man, I have never seen Metallica ever in my life. And I was so excited to finally see Metallica. And the whole concert, I was so fixated on how bad my feet hurt the entire time standing.
Oh, that sucks.
And I was like, I just want off of my fucking my feet hurt so bad. And they're fucking blasting out Master of Puppets. And he's playing the Cliff Burton tribute, you know, pulling teeth. And I'm loving every minute of the show.
I just got seats, Matt.
I wish I had seats.
That fucking blow is like, that's if you like really have to piss and you're like super excited and you don't want to leave. Or you can't even get out of the crowd because it's so fucking dense. Like a side ache or something.
I'll tell you, if you're just sitting down, Matt, enjoying you some Metallica, I mean, like, you know, they have those big screens. You can see what's going on.
Right.
Oh, you can see the fireworks if you're far away. It's great.
The Patriots at that venue, those screens on the side of the stage are super HD. Like, they look amazing.
Yeah, it's fine, Matt. I recommend getting you a seat, then your feet won't hurt.
My feet hurt so bad, Mike. They just hurt. I have flat feet. I can't stand too long.
Travis, let me ask you. You have, like, what you'd say is a pick of the week, something you want the people to know about, Travis?
I guess my pick of the week would be the new Netflix special. It's a Ray Romano special called Right Here Around
That's
the Corner.
That's a good one.
I enjoyed it very much. I wasn't sure what I was getting into when I watched it. It was very funny.
Is Ray Romano doing stand-up?
Yeah, he's back to doing stand-up, apparently, and he has a Netflix special. The stick with it. If you don't think the first half is great, I would agree with you, but the second half is very funny. It's cool to see guys like that return to stand up after years of being just like TV personalities.
Yeah.
It's like that Seinfeld movie that he did, comedian after his show was over.
God, he hasn't done anything in so long. I actually liked Everybody Loves Raymond. A lot of people give me give me shit for enjoying that show, but I thought it was very funny.
No, it's a good show.
I've actually heard really good things about the Ellen special too. I haven't listened, or I haven't watched it yet,
man,
but I've
that
heard
Ellen
that
special
it's,
is she's really very funny.
She's very funny. Like yeah. She's always been a great stand-up. Like you look at her now, and she's like that daytime TV host, and forget that she was a great stand-up.
Her opening bit on that special is so funny. I was watching it with my oldest daughter. And we were just laughing like she's fucking funny, man. She's
Matt, I'm really not funny. Really sure, but Drunk looked at me off mic and said it was OK. He didn't say it on mic while you guys were talking about how good the Ellen special was, but he just kind of
I liked it.
It was OK.
That's all right. Yeah, different strokes for different folks, right?
Yeah. Different folks for different strokes. That's
Matt, pick of the week.
Special episode.
I don't even know that I really have a pick of the week. I haven't finished The Umbrella Academy on Netflix. I think that was my pick of the week last week.
We watched about 4 minutes of it and just said,
I think it's a phenomenal show. I really love it. I think we're on the last episode, but I really enjoy the cast of characters. I love the show.
I don't know if we were just in a bad mood last night, but we watched like the first 4 or 5 minutes of Umbrella Academy and said, I'm not in the mood for this. And we turned it off, and then we turned on the Larry Charles show. We watched like 3 or 4 minutes of that, and we said, this is dumb, too. I don't want to watch this either.
I feel like 3 or 4 minutes is the perfect amount of time to gauge how much you're actually going to enjoy something.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. It was just in a mood. We ended up just watching old episodes of The Office and going to bed early. I'm telling you, I'm getting old, Travis.
Be good too.
Getting old.
Is that Russian Doll pretty good? That's on my list too. I'm excited.
I think that actress. I think she's pretty funny. It's kind of twisted. We've only seen a few episodes of it, but it's definitely kind of unique. Definitely unique, and I don't know. It's a fun show.
Drunk pick of the week. Something you want the people to know about Drunk?
The week is Florida massage parlors.
There it is.
That fellow was caught and get. You know, don't you just assume all massage parlors are places to get hand jobs?
I just legalize it. You can go up to Canada and it's fucking legal.
I mean, like if I say, hey Matt, I'm going to a massage parlor
Australia
tomorrow.
Legal, Netherlands
like,
legal.
Don't you assume that I'm going there with the expectation that I'm going to get a hand job?
I don't
at
know.
At minimum, hand
job.
Sure, it's illegal.
But knowing you, like, I don't think that that's something that you would partake in.
Yeah, I can't see Mike actually doing that.
Well, I was just using me as an example. It's a bad example. Yeah, I would never.
She's going to like me.
Yeah.
Do you guys think
judging my penis the whole time?
Do you guys think Vinny liked me? It's important to me that
right.
Vinny liked me.
You'll be trying to make her laugh the whole time.
It's not usually like this, right? It's cold in here, huh?
Uh-huh.
I can't get any
respect. Like, okay, you get hot now. And you'll be like, oh.
Is that offensive?
I think so. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Jesus,
no,
man.
I mean, I liked it. I just don't know if we can do it anymore. Mike, do you have a pick of the week?
Travis, I've been watching the sci-fi show Happy, which
that's also
I enjoy, but I was probably already supposed to have watched all of that. So my pick of the week is the Doom Patrol.
You see the newest episode?
I watched 1 and 2.
Oh, it's amazing. The second
I've got to illegally download that.
Matt, it's worth the illegal download, Matt.
Okay, good.
It's a lot of fun.
I was worried that it wouldn't be worth the 2 seconds that it takes to click on it and hit download
for Matt,
my private IP torrent site that I use.
Well worth the illegal download, Matt.
You guys are real pieces of shit.
Nobody has that DC Universe thing, Travis. Nobody does.
About? Oh.
Matt, no.
You know what? Hey, Travis, I thought something that I thought you'd be proud of me for is that I have a subscription to Audible, and I've been listening to audiobooks by using the credit that I get from my subscription.
So you've been legally listening to audiobooks.
Legally listening to
audiobooks. Does it feel good, Matt?
Very, very proud of you.
Does it make you appreciate it more?
It does not make me appreciate it more. I
just know that if you spoke with the author, they appreciate that much more than if you just illegally downloaded it. Because you know what? Authors aren't rich.
I don't know that I would speak to the author ever, and I would just download it. And
let's
get
a list of books that you've illegally downloaded.
Do you guys think that the
Twilight series?
Do you guys think that Vinny appreciated that I had one of his T-shirts 25 years ago?
Yeah, we should have asked him if he would appreciate it if you illegally downloaded his entire discography.
Well, I had it on tape, so I guess if I wanted it again, I'd probably have to.
Some of those musical artists are.
It's all on Spotify.
You probably had it on Napster.
It's all on Spotify. So. All right. Guys, we're going to do it again next week. We appreciate you.
I do pay for Spotify.
I do too, Matt. It's so goddamn convenient. Man.
Wonderful. Love Spotify.
Guns out, phones out.
Matt, it's podcast month.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
We fucked up. Hey, Uncle Hall, call the hand hotline real quick. We'll interview you about your podcast.
Why would you do that?
I can't. I don't have that kind of time.
What? Mike, it's 10:23.
I know.
P.M.
Oh, he's calling. He's calling.
All right, I gotta go. Good show, guys. Talk to you later.
Hey, Uncle Hall.
Sup, Chief?
Oh, fuck. He called me Chief, Matt. I had to hang up on him. Matt, he called me Chief. Gross.
What's wrong with being called Chief? You are the chief of the WFOD show.
Oh, he called me Chief.
You ask people every show to call in, and somebody calls in, you hang up on him.
He really hates our listeners. He really, really does.
Hey, does he Uncle really Hall. Not like that?
How's he back?
My bad. He called back, Matt.
Oh.
He called back.
Hey,
right. My bad.
Hey, buddy.
What's up,
guys? So you have a podcast?
Yeah, we're coming back soon enough.
Who's we?
New name, longer episodes.
You?
The
me, royal we?
I think I'm gonna be able to get Mr. Parcheesi himself on board. So.
Oh, Adam's gonna do a weekly podcast with you?
No commitments yet. We still have to figure out if he's gonna be able to do it fairly frequently. But yeah,
can I ask you
like
why you would even? But why?
Why? Because poetry.
Poetry. Oh, respect, right, because he did the poetry.
Respect the finer arts.
Okay, I can definitely respect the finer arts, but when you're throwing shit against a wall.
Uncle Hall, your voice has gotten deeper since the last time I heard you.
Thank you.
Are you becoming a man?
I am becoming a man. I have also recently learned how to rip apples in half cleanly.
Uncle Hall, stay young as long as you can, man, because it just it sucks.
Then you turn out like Mike, and nobody wants that.
Yeah, like if they tell you that, like, you know, you get smarter and you don't. What happens?
You know,
is
Uncle Hall can rip an apple in half, and I watched a girl on Twitter the other day squeeze a cantaloupe between her thighs and crush it. So
what happens is you stay the same amount of dumb, but like you have to pretend. Constantly.
Uncle Hall, can you squeeze a cantaloupe between your thighs and
you're
crush
not a
it?
Fool.
I've seen a stripper fly a ping pong ball across the room out of her sniz.
I got a buddy who can break a watermelon with his thighs.
Listen, you videotape yourself squishing a cantaloupe between your thighs, and you got my respect.
Well, I don't have your respect for ripping apples in half.
Apples are apples, buddy. Come on.
What the fuck are we talking about this apples ripping in half shit? I keep seeing references to apples. What are we talking about? Catch me up as though I'm completely new to
this. Why don't you Google it? Rip an apple in half.
Do yeah, I don't yeah, care about ripping an apple. I want to watch a cantaloupe get crushed.
So you stick your fingers in the stem hole and you pull and
there.
Am I describing it accurately, or is it like a?
I didn't hear any of that. I was too busy sending you a video of it.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, so I'm watching a video now. Where's this video that you're sending me? I deleted the Twitter app from my phone.
I don't have a Twitter. I sent it over the messages.
What messages?
Why don't you have Twitter? You rip apples in half, but you don't have Twitter?
Well, who are you doing this stuff?
Why the chat, dude?
What chat?
The fucking strange label chat?
How did I send...
Jesus fucking Christ. I guess I didn't get it because you're talking to me on the telephone. Maybe I have to hang up on you to get it.
Oh, it's right here.
Oh.
No, he just told us that he's an apple ripper. I haven't seen the apple ripper. Yeah.
Define an apple ripper.
Well, it's you.
Yeah, you define apple ripper. You're the one claiming to be one.
Yeah, you're ripping apples.
This is a new concept.
I sent a few videos to Matt, but he never said anything. I guess he wasn't impressed enough.
Matt,
I'm more of a casual viewer. I view things. I do not comment.
I do not comment. All right, Matt.
I in my head I go, oh, he ripped an apple in half. I wonder if he could squish a cantaloupe between his thighs.
I could try. I could very certainly try.
Are you carving out a place for yourself on the internet where you're demolishing fruit in interesting ways? This is your thing. This is what we're promoting. Guys, be sure to check out Uncle Hall's fruit ruining movies.
Yeah, yeah. What's the name of the podcast here?
Uncle Hall the Fruit Ripper.
I guess that's my new niche. I mean, I wasn't intending on it.
Coming live Thursday nights at 9 p.m.
So what's the name of the podcast?
Yeah, I guess so.
Fruit Rippers.
We're renaming it. It's getting renamed because the old name was stupid.
And so what's this new name? It's way better than the old
name. Well, it can't be as dumb as Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks, but...
Wow.
Underground.
Yeah, time will tell on that.
Undiscovered.
Jesus fucking Christ. What is it?
Underground, Undercover, Undiscovered.
Okay, why?
Cast.
Yeah, you gotta cast in there.
I'm going to say that it definitely should be Fruit Rippers with a Z.
Fruit Ripper. Yeah, that's a better name. It's cast. Catchy.
Thanks.
See, like, there's
Thank
too
you.
Many U's and too many U words, and you got to remember which U
words
in what order. Yeah, yeah.
You,
now,
you
Fruit Rippers with
Fruit
a Z.
Or you just call it triple Twitter. U and then call it a day.
And fruit also has to be double O. F-R-O-O-T.
Oh, oh my God! Come
speaking
on. Yeah.
Speaking of the fruit, I'm out on that fucking Lucky Charms beer, dude. That I'm don't.
Oh, who would ever like
don't,
that?
Don't Lucky bring Charms that here. Well, I know Mike's gonna try to make me try it, and I'm not gonna do it. I'm just gonna
Uncle Hall, it's important
Hold
to
on
me
a second.
That
Drunk,
we talk
you get the opportunity to try that shit. You fucking try it.
No, I'm not gonna do it.
What? No, if I see it at the store, I'm buying it.
I've drank wasabi vodka for this guy. I've drank grass clippings vodka for this guy.
You drank wasabi vodka.
Yeah,
I still have most of the bottle. If
that'd be great in a Bloody
Mary.
No, Mike hates
you
me.
Drink.
The man owns a bunch of dressers. He loves himself.
Uncle Hall, drunk is he's dedicated. Like, drunk does what
he
needs
dedicated.
To do, except
he almost
showing up
the
for the dating
pocket.
Game, except fucking a hot pocket. Everything other than that, he's done. Except going to Las Vegas to have sex with the porn.
But that wasn't really your shtick. That was more Shannon's
I would
shtick.
Love to listen to Drunk take shots of Lucky Charm beer.
Matt, we're getting off topic
like a power
here.
Hour?
We have to
Lucky
talk.
Charm beer, we just take shot every minute.
This is,
come
no,
on.
No. Go off on your tangent.
Come on,
this is entertaining.
Matt, we have minute. To talk Uncle Hall out of the terrible name for his podcast.
Yeah, it's got to be
Fruit Rippers with a Z, Uncle
with
Hall. That's where the money is. It's
F-R-O-O-T, fruit.
Ooh, yes. Fruit.
That's what. That's,
see, we were just talking
what,
about
that's
it.
What Travis said. That's what Travis
with,
said.
With
right.
with Sponge Guy.
Maybe you can put one of them. Maybe you can put one of them little O's with the two dots above it.
Like
what are they called?
If an umlaut.
An umlaut. Yep.
Umlaut.
If
umlaut,
you name your
like
show
umlaut.
Fruit Rippers.
Kids bop that shit.
If I Google Fruit Rippers
and that's why I'm with a Z, guy.
The day after you make your podcast, you know what I'm finding, Uncle Hall? I'm finding Fruit Rippers with a Z. If I have to Google all that other convoluted bullshit you were saying before, never going to find you. Never.
So pretentious.
All right. I just think Fruit Rippers is kind of just, you know, it doesn't really, it only pertains to this one scenario.
Well, every week you rip a goddamn fruit, Uncle Hall. You play to the bit. I'll tell right. you what, you say what right. you will about the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program, but you fucking right. Google the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. You know what you're finding, Matt? You're finding the goddamn Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program because nobody else is stupid enough to name their show that.
I'm pretty sure you're finding the whole flock of doves.
You are screaming into my ear, good sir. That is painful.
Listen, I drunk. Listen, hear me out.
Okay.
1 hour
with a Z.
A shot every minute of Lucky Charm beer.
Oh no, that come you on. Realize that's like 4.5 beers, right?
If you do that, if
drunk through the power hour with
Matt.
Power hour with fucking Lucky Charms beer.
Oh my god!
It's now my mission
of all time.
More than anything, to find that goddamn Lucky Charms beer.
If I could get you $50 to do a power hour,
how am I going to collect this $50?
That's like 80 cents a minute, Matt. You're going to have to pay him a little bit more. Minimum wage is like
$50 an hour.
Yeah, 80 cents a minute or so.
$50 an hour. I would love to make $50 an hour.
Lisa's offering to donate to Drunk's cause here.
Listen to me. The thought of a sweet beer makes me want to throw up.
Lucky Charm beer, one shot per minute. Come on.
So, Uncle Hall, your new podcast, it's coming out. And what's the name of that podcast, Uncle Hall?
Undercover Brother.
No.
Undercover mother.
Let me see if I can guess it. Undercover, undiscovered,
undeniable.
Underground is first.
Underground. Oh, underground was in there too. Yeah.
Underground, undercover, undiscover.
There you go.
The name of the show. Is Fruit Rippers.
Your pronunciation was awful, but I can only chalk that up to the state you live in just being so backwards you can't pronounce things correctly, but
undiscovered, under brother, under dubber.
Is she a great big fat person?
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, God, my sister's titties in my mouth can't seem to get this stupid podcast name out.
Is she a great big fat person?
We're the three U word podcast.
Oh, I can't wait to tell my cousin about this amazing podcast with three words.
Undiscovered, undercover.
Like, why are you undercover? Are you using an alias? What is the undercover part mean?
No,
like, are you doing like secret stories?
I'm not using an alias. Uncle Hall is my real name. Yes, Mike.
No, but I mean, like, why is it undercover? Like, are you doing like man on the street?
The whole point is that no one is ever going to listen to us. Therefore, the name is implicative of the fact that we will never have a single viewer ever.
Well, that's selling yourself short, Uncle Hall.
Right. You got to aim big, buddy.
I'll tell
you. Fruit Rippers.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. I'd listen to fucking Fruit Rippers.
Oh.
I don't even need to know what it's about.
Travis, somebody tells you, hey, I got this new podcast I want you to listen to called Fruit Rippers. You're listening to that shit, right?
Hey, what's going on in Fruit Rippers this week?
Are you
going
to sign your cast on Periscope or something?
Fucking, that's the move. Jackfruit.
Did you guys hear the latest episode of Fruit Rippers?
Travis.
We're ripping open a jackfruit and Adam's going on a long rant about Donald Trump.
Rippers with a Z.
Because that would be the show. It doesn't matter what the name is, because once they figure out the content, they're going to be like, oh, this is awful.
Then why do
Fruit
it?
Rippers is a hit, buddy.
Why do it then? Like, if you're already saying, oh, nobody's going to listen to this because it's garbage, then why do it?
That's a good question, Mike. Ripper, you call our show garbage every week.
I don't call our show garbage.
Well,
I want you to...
Fruit is in his hands. Fruit Rippers.
There you go, theme song. It's a hit.
I occasionally get awful frustrated and think our show was bad this particular week.
Wait, hold on. It's an awful theme song. Could you please repeat the name that you had for your original show?
Undiscovered, Undercover.
Undercover Brother.
Undeniable. Lord.
Right. That's no
fruit. My That's Lord.
Sure. Uncle Halt, listen to me.
Mike will make you a bit anytime you want.
I've been in the podcast game a long time, Uncle Halt. Just celebrated our 9-year anniversary.
How many of those years in the podcast game, yeah, Mike, have you been ripping fruit?
I'll tell you what. From a marketing standpoint,
mm-hmm,
I feel way more confident in the title Fruit Rippers with a Z.
Than a triple U show that no one can remember. At least you guys can remember.
Yes,
but
yes. The key in this biz, Uncle Hall.
Trust me, Uncle Hall, when I tell you, if we can't remember, nobody else is going to remember.
Yeah, yeah. As like the only people who have heard of this, and you've said it 5 times now, and we still can't remember it. Think of like a passerby. Think of a person who's just discovering the podcast.
I think you guys are purposely not remembering it at this point.
No, we don't remember it because it's long and awful.
I think you don't understand how easy Fruit Rippers is.
Yeah, Fruit Rippers.
Hey, I got Fruit Rippers on the mind. That's all I
got. Yeah.
Travis, I mean, it's memorable, right? Fruit Rippers with a Z.
It sounds like a candy. It sounds like one of those. Like,
I know. It sounds like a candy. Easy.
Yeah.
Rolls
yeah.
Right.
People love candy.
Yeah. They sell a shitload of candy.
Right.
It's right, sweet fine. And it's delicious and it's catchy.
All right. I got to go.
Okay. Goodbye, everyone. Hey, Uncle Hall.
Yeah.
Your new show. It's coming out soon, right?
Yeah.
And what's the name of this show?
I'll give you. Fruit Rippers, I guess. Yeah.
Oh, there we go. We're making miracles, Travis.
We did it.
We're right making here. Miracles
it's
happen.
Podcast month miracle.
Stay tuned for Fruit Rippers and a device near you.
Live on Wednesday nights right here.
Podcast month, successful end. We've converted.
I want you to know it's over.
Well, bye.
For listening to this installment of WFOD. Join us live every Tuesday night at 9/8 Central on strangelabel.com. Be sure to check out all the other great shows that station offers. You can download past episodes of our lengthy catalog or enjoy other premium content on our website found at wfodshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at WFODix. Email us Mike, Travis, or Drunk at WFODshow.com. Give us a call when we're live or when we're not live. Phone over there is 636-487-HAND. Special thanks, as always, to our Patreon sponsors, Liquid Lozenge and Brian Kranz. If you'd like to contribute, it's patreon.com/WFODix. We'll be back next week. Thank you. and goodbye.
Lots of good stuff happening. It's going to be juicy. You'll see. All right. Bye for now. Take good care of yourself. Bye.